We are really in for a very special treat today with our special guest, Amber McCullough. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Amber, even though so many of us, in fact, most of us know her as the bright light that she is. But let me just share a little bit of background about her that you may not know. Amber first came to Unity Renaissance in 2004. And she has been a shining light in our community ever since. She grew up in the Hampton Roads area and in Florida. Amber says, this was a big surprise to me, that she found Jesus in a black church in 1987. That's a story for another day. And soon after that, her family began attending a Pentecostal church. Amber probably qualifies as one of us Christians with questions. As an adult, she broke free from traditional church and began her own spiritual quest, which led her to Unity Renaissance. Amber has served in many key leadership roles here, most recently as secretary of our Board of Trustees, and she is now serving as treasurer. In her professional life, Amber is an owner and broker for Family First Realty, having just celebrated her 3-year anniversary in that capacity. Congratulations. I would guess Amber had a hand, or possibly even chose the name for that firm, Family First Realty, in that family has always come first for her. She and her wonderful husband, Steve, have 5 amazing grown children and 4 grandchildren. On April 24th, 2019, Amber was involved in a devastating motorcycle accident. And today we have the great honor of hearing about her inspiring and remarkable healing journey. Please join me in welcoming the beautiful Amber McCullough. So let me just start by saying, how does it feel to you that we're doing this?
I'm thrilled. I have wanted to share this story for a very long time. Even, you know, after the healing started, I thought, man, talk about this.
Okay. What? Because of why? Why are you eager?
It's just been a miraculous journey.
It's been a miraculous journey. Thank you for saying yes to doing this.
I wanted to do it at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. COVID interfered, didn't
yes.
it? But you're healthy now.
Yes.
We're grateful for that. So Amber, maybe you could just begin by telling us what happened on that day in 2019.
So my business partner and I, John, in real estate, sometimes you work 7 days a week. Mm. So it was a sunny, warm Wednesday, and we went out on the motorcycle. And I had only been out maybe 4 or 5 times, so I was still a little nervous as a rider.
Oh.
So we went down to the Outer Banks and had lunch and just enjoyed the sun and the music, and it was wonderful. I took pictures all along the way. Mm. I love to take pictures. And on the way back, we were a couple miles from the house. We were gonna turn the bike into the garage, get the truck, go back to work. And someone didn't see the motorcycle and turned left on a yellow blinking left, didn't see us and turned into us. So the bike was totaled. John and I both broke both of our left legs. He broke a few more things than I did. We've learned a lot since the accident. Like, I was told that my head hit the ground 4 times and only once was my motorcycle helmet on, which explains why my brain works much differently now than it used to.
Really?
So that was the accident. It happened about 4:15 on a Wednesday afternoon.
Wow. And you say that you broke your leg, but you really sort of shattered your leg, as I recall.
Yes. I had big spaces of bone that were completely missing. Mm-hmm. So they had to do a lot of work.
Yeah. That is miraculous.
Yes.
That you're walking.
Yes.
Yes. So what is your first memory after the accident? What do you remember right up until it happened, and what's your first recollection after it happened?
I'm a very spiritual person, so, and I know we can make stories up, kind of, that's how I deal with things sometimes, is just to use my imagination. So I feel like I'm lucky that I got to see the truck coming. I'm looking over his shoulder because I'm on the back of the motorcycle, and I looked to the left and I saw the truck. Don't remember anything after that until I woke up in the bushes. I don't remember what I saw when I looked down, but I looked down And I knew whatever it was wasn't pleasant. So I closed my eyes and I immediately started praying. I do not remember feeling any pain. I'm sure the adrenaline had kicked in and lots of medicine helped that memory to go away if there was any pain. So I don't remember pain. But I remember when I looked down, I thought, this isn't good. Just close your eyes, because looking at things is not going to help anything. Praying is going to help. So I immediately started praying, and then I could hear John very close by, and he was talking. And I thought, okay, that means he's alive. That's good. And then shortly after, because I kept my eyes closed, I really didn't know what was going on. The ambulance came and took us. I've heard that bystanders... we've met many people through this process. We've met the angels that call 911. We've met with people that knew the rescue team that was there. We had people running by that took jogging clothes off and used them as a tourniquet our legs. And had they not done that, we would not have lived. They said that we lost so much blood, it was a miracle that we lived. And when the ambulance closed the door and told the bystanders were there, they said they probably won't make it. So that was their opinion. So I'm very thankful for the doctors that we had that were on call that did a fabulous job.
Did you, could you see the driver of the truck? Did you ever connect with the driver of the truck, or do you know how that person
is? The bystanders that were there talked a little bit. We think she was under 18, so there really isn't too much we can know. And it could be hearsay, but we did hear that it was distracted driving.
Okay. So when did you have a sense of the extent of your injuries? When did it become kind of clear to you what was going on? Do you remember?
I remember being in the ambulance, and I felt like I was very strangely clear-headed. It was very strange because I was talking. I was like, I know my name. I know what today is. Like, I thought, if you're in an accident like this, why would you know all that? But I wasn't clear-headed enough to say, take my phone and call my husband. That was strange. They did eventually take my phone and call people. I woke up at some point and looked down and saw a metal contraption on my leg. Mm-hmm. I remember Steve was there. I think I saw you there. Mm-hmm. A lot of medicine. A lot of medicine. A lot of blood transfusions. It was probably weeks before I realized the extent of the injuries and the implications.
When you, I just want to circle back to when you were saying when it first happened that you began praying. Do you remember what your prayer was?
Well, in 2003, I was introduced to Reiki, so I was just using Reiki. I wasn't playing anything specific. I was just using Reiki and praying for God's will and comfort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really amazing. It's almost like you're watching yourself even as you're going, that from what you're describing anyway, like in the ambulance and stuff, you were almost seeing yourself in that situation.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember speaking with your surgeon early on and him describing the extent of what was going to be necessary here. As I recall, there were two places where you needed to essentially, like you were talking about, regrow bone to connect. One spacing was pretty large.
About 4 inches.
About 4 inches. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing doctor, by the way. Mm-hmm. But that began quite a course of surgeries for you. So how many surgeries did you have, Amber?
That was a miracle, too. I had about 7 surgeries total, but he said that typical for this accident would have been 20 to 30. So I can only give credit to prayer because that's the only difference, really.
Wow. And each of those surgeries, was it on the bone to reconnect the bone, or did you have
some
other
of it
injuries?
Some tissue. I had lost some soft tissue on my leg.
Yeah.
In the ambulance, they cut my blue jeans off, and they said that me wearing tight blue jeans probably saved my leg because of how the accident happened. So they had to use my right leg that was healthy to use some tissue and skin and muscle to save this part of my left leg. So I remember waking up after this surgery, not even opening my eyes, and I said, Steve, why does my right leg hurt? Because I'm like, my left leg is hurt, why does my right leg hurt? And he was like, they had to use that leg. So I have a scar from here to here on this side to save this leg over here.
So they took bone out of your right leg?
Not bone, just skin and tissue and muscle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, you know, most of us, if we think about how this would feel, right? I mean, if we became aware that we had basically shattered the bottom of our leg, you know, would not have a good reaction to that.
Well, I think some of that is the medicine.
Oh. So the medicine sort of helped you control. I mean, I would think it would be a devastating realization. Didn't you feel sad or frightened or
scared?
Scared.
Yeah, because there was talk of amputation.
I remember that.
Yeah. They said that thankfully my knee was not hurt. The hurt was just above the joint, the knee joint, and below. But my knee was fine. So, and then we didn't find out until recently that when they fixed my femur, I don't know if they didn't measure right. That's what I like to say, but that's kind of a joke to me. Mm. When they fixed my femur, it's not the same length that it was, so I have to wear a lift on the bottom of my shoe to kind of walk normal.
Yes, sort but of. You are walking.
Yes, very thankful.
And how is John, by the way? Is he healed as well? Is he walking also?
Yes, him and I are both walking with no canes, no assistance.
That is really quite phenomenal.
Yes.
Because he was badly injured.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your healing journey. It's been almost 2 years ago that this happened. Mm-hmm. So what has it been like for you?
Whew.
What was the hardest for you?
The hardest part was laying down and not being able to go anywhere or do anything. Had to rely on other people for help because I'm usually the one that other people rely on.
Yeah.
So that was a big shift.
How did it feel to you once you got used to that? Did that feel easier? How was it?
It was very frustrating in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I like to recollect now and say that I was in that situation for 11 months. For 30 days, I was back to normal, and then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So I was only somewhat normal for a month, and then the world shut down again. Oh, so wow. I had training on how to handle COVID because I had done it for so long, not going grocery shopping and not doing anything. It was very frustrating.
Yeah.
But I will say that the love that was poured out to me, first of all, with my husband, he was amazing.
Way to go, Steve. He has been amazing.
He came and saw me every single day at the hospital. We had Mother's Day and his birthday in the hospital. He was just amazing. So he took great care of me. And then the people here, our Unity family, just the love, the prayers, the cards, the meals. It was just amazing.
I would think that, you know, as hard as it is for us to ask people for help, that it also gives them an opportunity, right? It gives them a chance to grow and give that they might have not have taken otherwise or had otherwise.
I didn't know that many people loved me that much.
Aww.
Amber, awesome.
We would have told you any time. But what about your emotional state? I mean, surely, so you've talked about physically you were being isolated at home and the difficulty of that, which we've experienced in our own way this past year. But what about just sort of emotional management? What kind of emotions did you feel along the way, and how did you manage them?
Emotionally, it was a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Gratitude is my secret weapon. So most days that are good and strong, it's gratitude up front. And then some days it's hard. And so I think, okay, what do I have to be thankful for? Number one, I'm alive. That trumps everything, you know? Number two, I got to keep both legs. Number three, I'm not in a wheelchair or in a walker anymore. So on those hard days, it was just push through, exercise, do what you need to do to get back to some kind of normal.
Yeah. Did you ever have thoughts of why me? Why me? I'm a good person. I live a great life. I make so many people happy. Why God? Right? I mean, seriously.
That's very normal, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like I did say that at one point, but I'm not usually a why me person. Mm-hmm. I've had some pretty tragic things happen in my life, and so this is just another. So it's kind of, I like to find reason. So if I can find a reason for something, then I can live with it. The blessings that came out of this, I was a stay-at-home mom for 8 years and did not know I loved working so much until I went back to work when Lee was 3 years old.
Oh.
I whistled on my way to work and people thought, what is wrong with her? Well, I wasn't at home changing diapers anymore. So I love to work. And in that, over the years, I just got into the rat race or the hamster wheel. And in 2018, I made a change in my career. And I feel like that was God saying, this is your opportunity to be present and to do what you want to do. And looking back, I can see that I just got right back in the hamster wheel.
Yes.
So I feel that this accident really made me pause and say, what is important?
Mm.
Every day, I am present. Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not say that before.
Mm-hmm. So have you rebalanced your work life priorities?
Yes.
Are you working less, more time with family? Of course, it's still a pandemic, so
well,
it's
you know,
odd,
I waved a magic wand one day and said, well, you know, I come into work, I started going back to work probably 6 or 7 months after the accident just because I needed to leave the house and I needed to use my brain
mm-hmm.
to get back to some kind of normalcy. And I would go in at 10 or 11 in the morning, and at first it was just a couple hours because how long could I stay up? And then I would stretch it out. So now it's kind of like we pick the perfect work hours and we try to work like 11 to 4 with having a lunch. I'm like, this is awesome. So I'm more present to my calendar and not overextending myself, not overpromising things that I can't deliver.
Ah,
so
way to
much
go.
More balance.
Way to go. You know, it's really striking to me. You talk about the use of gratitude, that gratitude was your secret weapon. And I think that, you know, particularly during the pandemic, when people are having, there are people going through very difficult times, life-threatening illness, and they can't be with loved ones and that kind of thing. And I just have to think that question of why me comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But you are, what I'm hearing is that you very quickly, if not immediately, shifted to finding blessings or to mm-hmm. feeling grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever hard for you as you look at now the trajectory of your life and things you won't be able to probably do? You don't go there.
No. It wouldn't serve me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a homebody before this.
Mm-hmm.
Being on a motorcycle, most people that knew me thought, Amber on a motorcycle? No, that's not Amber.
I know, I was pretty shocked too.
That's not something I do. I'm a very low risk,
yeah.
I'll stay at home in my comfy couch person. And so, you know, I get to do that more now. So, but yeah, it's, you know, on hard days, I think I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm alive. I lost my father to a car accident when I was 3.
Oh, I just think, wow.
You know, my kids, sometimes we'll talk about it now, and they'll be like, Mom, you almost weren't here. And I'm like, wow.
Well, so they have that perspective, too.
Yes.
Are they a little nicer?
Yeah.
A little easier? A little greater appreciation,
yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
You talked about spiritual practices of prayer and gratitude. Are there other practices that really served you? Things that you...
I had our Unity family members bring things to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should mention names or not, but I had one
sure.
of our beloved congregants brought me some stones, some healing rocks, crystals and stones.
Oh.
And it was funny. I tried to keep them as close as I could to me the whole time I was in the hospital and even after.
Mm-hmm.
I had beloved friends, congregants bring me healing oils, custom-made jewelry that help with frequencies for while you're in the hospital to keep mm-hmm. away other germs. I mean... And that doesn't even talk about the meals and the cards. The cards, oh, I would keep them and just look at them and read them over and over.
That's the sweetest thing.
And flowers. I still have plants to this day that came to me, and
yeah,
I just love them.
There were
them.
A lot. I remember there was an oversupply there for a while. Your house looked like a florist shop.
Yes,
really.
Yes.
When you talk about prayer, Amber, maybe you could speak a little bit about how you pray or what kind of prayer you've used in your life. I mean, affirmations, visualization, what
would say affirmations. Mm-hmm. I lean more towards, I want to say praying God's will. I feel like God's will is always unfolding. I feel like divine order is here, and it's how do we handle it? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if I believe in divine order, that motorcycle accident was in divine order. I have so much more compassion and understanding now than I did before. Mm-hmm. So I take life slower. I give people more room. Because if I can believe that this motorcycle accident is actually a blessing to me, which I do.
You do.
Then other people, wherever they are, they're perfect also.
Yeah.
So if I'm perfect and they're perfect, you know, it just...
That's profound, Amber, to look back on this and see it as a blessing.
It has been.
That's astounding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're getting me choked up. So what would you say to someone who has something harrowing or tragic happen in their life? What words of wisdom, what pearls of wisdom, what would you say to them?
Hold on tight to your faith. It's in believing. I believed the entire time I was going to be okay. I truly believed I was going to be okay. I had faith for that. And so physical therapy, mental therapy, I used all of it.
Wow.
And I believed.
Do you see yourself any different now than you did before?
I feel like I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm able to slow down and be present now and to appreciate what I have.
Yeah.
So yes, I do see myself differently.
Do you see your own strength? Because it's amazing. It is.
Thank you.
It is. So tell me how are you doing today? How are you? You mentioned your brain works a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So just tell us about kind of your everyday reality these days. How are you functioning? How are you feeling?
I think I'm functioning as normally as I can. It's funny, in my mind, I kind of slip back to the way I was before the accident, and I just get on that hamster wheel again, and I think, no, you're not that person anymore. Mm. That's not your life. Mm. Sometimes my leg will experience some swelling, and I'll think, I need to get that propped up. And I think about how busy have I been today. It's time to self-care, take care of myself, to relax. So I adjust my schedule as I need to, and I take some time to rest. I'm so thankful for the support system I have in Steve. And Lee's still at home, so they're very caring and giving to me, and so I do less than I used to do, but I feel like it's a good amount.
Yeah. When you said your brain functions differently, how do you forget things or
yes.
What? Oh, you do.
Yeah. Huh. This whole time I've been so looking forward to this interview. I'm like, I know everything I'm going to say because it's in my heart. It's
yes,
just going to come
course,
out.
Of course, and it has.
And then on the way here, I thought, what if your brain just everything.
Welcome to the club.
So I was like, okay, God, I believe that this is going to work. So I have to give myself some more time. Sometimes, you know, John and I joke at work all the time. He says, okay, what are we going to do today? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I have to put it in my calendar. I have to write it down. So
So that's so interesting. You know, on the one hand, that's a loss. On the other hand, you're very present. I mean, everything's pointing you into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And also to accepting what is. That's what really stands out for me.
Yes.
You know, it just seems like it when difficulties happen or something tragic like this, that it could be tempting to spend a lot of energy sort of arguing with why did this happen? This shouldn't be this way, but it is this way.
Exactly.
And it sounds to me like you kind of came to that realization mm-hmm. in pretty short order.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Which, you know, is really something.
I didn't have the energy to fight with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what keeps you going now? What are you most looking forward to?
I've never enjoyed exercise. I do love the chair yoga. That's my speed.
Chair yoga, everybody.
That's my speed. So I'm looking forward to a balance in taking care of myself physically, things that need to be done. I still feel like I need to learn how to walk again because I still walk really strangely. So sometimes I think I'll carry a cane and then maybe it'll look more normal. I'm learning how to let those things go. I mean, my shoes look funny.
Now, where do you get those?
I have to have this person add the lift to the bottom of the shoes.
Okay.
So that's kind of the hardest part, and I'll grumble about it sometimes, and Steve will be like, honey, okay, you're here.
Yeah.
You're alive and you can walk.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Wow, what a perspective to have.
So just looking forward to balance with self-care, physical, a healthy business, because I love what I do.
And she's awesome, by the way. Amber helped us find our first rental home and found us our amazing house that we're living in now. We're so grateful.
So I love that. And I do want to give a shout out. Last year when I went back to work, I had quite a few congregants come and say, hey, we'd like to look at some houses. And I tell you, I was out there with my walker.
You can't keep a good woman down.
Yeah. So I'm just so thankful that I get to do what I do.
Yeah. Well, Amber, is there anything else you would like to add or anything else you would want us to know?
I just want to reiterate that gratitude is everything. It is literally everything. There was a few years in my life that I was very, very miserable. And it was all in my head. And when I was able to shift and focus on gratitude, it was a game changer for me. So when this accident happened, I thought, you've done this before. Gratitude is it. That is the tool, because it makes all the other stuff kind of fade away.
Yeah. And you really manifested a miracle, Amber. Do your doctors tell you that?
They don't really say that, but
I guess that's kind of patting themselves on the back, maybe. But
they're amazed.
You're amazing. So I hope you know how much you touch our hearts and how much you inspire us, Amber. It's been remarkable to watch you recover from this.
Thank you.
And I'm so grateful you're all right. We're grateful for you.
Yes.
So thank you for today. Thank you for being here and sharing with so much love and open-heartedness.
Thank you.
Okay. We love you, Amber.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for Amber. We're going to take just a few moments to center ourselves in meditation, feeling so touched and connected to spirit through that beautiful talk from beautiful comments from our beloved Amber McCullough. So I invite you to just get comfortable in your seat and close your eyes, take a deep breath in. Releasing and letting go. And just feeling Mother Earth supporting you, the chair beneath you, your feet on the floor. Just feel the perfection of this now moment. The true perfection of now. Here you are. And breathing in and out through your heart, I invite you to take Amber's wisdom into your own heart of feeling grateful. Where is gratitude bubbling up in you today? Where can you turn to for a greater sense of gratitude? All the blessings of life are upon you in this moment. Divine energy moving through you, surrounding you and all of your loved ones. Take a few moments now to breathe into gratitude, affirming the best for all, for a few moments in the silence. How blessed we are. How blessed we are to be here now, to be connected with one another, to be on our spiritual journey, to be filled with light and love and wisdom. We give thanks for all of it as we look ahead to new possibilities, new opportunities, and new joy. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.